Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of Soul Sisters. If you haven't heard our previous bonuses, you should listen to them today or maybe over the weekend. We had, number one was Belle Burden. It was all about her New York Times bestseller, Strangers. Her husband left her in the pandemic and the fallout from that and her lavish New York lifestyle is a brilliant read. And then last week we talked about Kiss Cam. Coldplay Kiss Cam. You thought you knew everything there was to know, but Kristen Cabot gave Oprah Winfrey her only interview, and that was a podcast interview. If you haven't heard that, you should take a listen to the bonus because we get into it.
Oh, we sure do. And we have been getting incredible feedback. Thank you for listening to the bonus episodes. I got a message from someone last night who said they were absolutely glued to both of them. And it is a different format. We pick one person, we dive into their lives. And today it's all about Gordon Ramsay. But before we get into it, a big, massive thank you to Sanex for supporting Soul Sisters this season. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately. It comes in three different options depending on what your skin needs. First up, we have anti-itchiness and anti-irritation. Designed for itchy skin, it contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days of use.
The next one I've been absolutely loving and living for is the anti-dryness. It's designed for dry skin, contains hyaluronic acid, and which is known, of course, for its moisturizing power.
And then we have smooth skin texture, which I think personally would be a fave for me for summer. It's suitable for combination to oily skin. But most importantly, it contains niacinamide, known to help reduce imperfections. So here we have a shower gel with omega-3, hyaluronic acid and niacinamide in them, which is absolutely 5 stars. So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you're in great hands as it's developed with dermatologists. Its patented amino acid complex preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel, because we are all about protecting our skin health in 2026. So Claire, when we were chatting about who to discuss on Soul Sisters this week, we were both saying how much we loved Gordon Ramsay's Netflix documentary. But beyond that is an absolute powerhouse. Somebody who has overcome so much in his life. And we wanted to just discuss the documentary in depth and get into a little bit of his background.
I loved it. Did you?
I absolutely loved it. Yeah, we watched it as soon as it came out. It was released in February. And I kind of like his BFFs, the Beckhams. It was a real behind the curtain look at their relationship, family life. I love getting to see these people's homes. Mm. And really importantly for me, I got to see, you know, how Gordon Ramsay runs his business and how he's created that empire. You know, we always talk about Oprah being my dream guest on The Good Glow, and she will forever be my queen. But my other dream guest is actually, and always has been, Gordon Ramsay.
Mm. Gordon Ramsay came on Dish as he and Angela Hartnett have history. They go way back to the early days of her career, and she came up under him. And interestingly enough, I was watching the documentary with a keen eye to hear him talk about his mentor, who was Marco Pierre White. I would have talked to you about this at the time, but when Gordon Ramsay walked into the room, my back was turned. But within seconds, I knew he was there, and he hadn't said a word. So it wasn't like he was shouting, announcing his arrival. He just walked in and it was kind of looking around. But the energy in the room had changed instantly. And
wow.
He, like his kids say in the documentary, he's not Gordon Ramsay. He's not the guy you see on the screen. When he walked in, he was so glad to see Angela because those two are so busy that they probably never have time to socialize together. He walked in, he was calling her, you know, loads of terms of endearment, darling, honey, so good to see you. What are you cooking? And then the humor started. So he's kind of ribbing her about what she was making for him and what kind of wine we were serving. He was a consummate guest and, you know, so so charismatic and, as you mentioned, so very much himself that it's, you can't deny the magnetism.
Yeah, but like when he walks into a room and you guys are all obviously setting up the podcast, and I imagine he's very tall, right?
He's tall, yes.
So you obviously feel his presence straight away, but do you immediately feel like you need to be more efficient? Because you know the way on TV, like he's quite like, get your shit together. Like what's the delay? Like, did you get into it quicker than you would with other guests?
Yeah, definitely. There was, as soon as he arrived, we had to go. It was the same energy that Chris Evans brought to set. And it's kind of like frenetic, sort of frantic energy. It's happening. It's happening. Go, 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 go. And, you know, when you're setting up Dish, it does feel like you're setting up a restaurant because you're serving a meal. But when somebody like Gordon Ramsay arrives, he just whips the place into a frenzy and everybody was, yeah, on their toes.
So Gordon Ramsay is not without scandal. And I think that's, he's a man of the people, right? Are any of us in our lives without scandal? And I think the Beckhams have been really good at kind of zipping it all up. Well, probably until Brooklyn went rogue. But over the course of Gordon's life, he has been very true to who he was. He's never tried to hide anything. And we will just dive into a few of the scandals over the course of the podcast. But let's talk about really briefly just his beginnings, his humble beginnings. He spoke about, you know, growing up in a very working class family, and you know, he had a lunch pass for school and he'd have to get into a different queue to the other kids because his lunches were subsidized. He didn't get to go on the school tours. Like, he was always very different. And I think with that difference came this fire within him to not necessarily break free from his family, but to go his own way and do his own thing.
He was also a footballer, wasn't he, briefly, but he got injured. And the relationship with Dad was something that I really honed in on because, you know, sometimes when you see people who are super successful, you think, okay, they must have a blueprint in their family. There must be somebody who's shown them the way, you know, an entrepreneur or a legacy of success. Or else there's somebody who comes from really humble beginnings and says, I never want to live that way again. And so he talks about his dad and his mum. They moved from Scotland down to near Silverstone and they were living in on a council estate. He got used to that life, but he never felt comfortable in that life. When he talked about his first restaurants and his parents coming, he said his mum would come in and she would talk to the staff and she'd go into the kitchen and she'd interact with the chefs, but she never felt comfortable sitting in the dining room. And then dad never gave Gordon the kudos he deserved. And when he said he went for breakfast with him in a caf and they were served a full English with fried bread, and Gordon said, oh, can I have toast instead? And the dad said, oh, posh. Look at him. He's gone posh.
Yeah.
So there was, and he never once sat down for a meal in one of Gordon's restaurants. And as he's, you know, you can see Tana's face as he's describing that. And you can see the emotion that it brings up in Gordon even still.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just that really good reminder, isn't it? No matter how much of an empire you build yourself, no matter how successful you get in business, you can never get away from the emotion and the wounds that are created by your family.
And also the approval of the people closest to you. Do you know what? Something struck me as I was listening to him tell his story about his childhood. I think, you know, in the year 2026, we are so focused on giving our kids this perfect childhood. You know, we are so aware, which is brilliant in so many ways. But we're so afraid of upsetting them or everything not being perfect and not putting them through any trauma, right? Like I know I run with women all the time who are going through separations and they have young kids and they're worried about the impact that that's going to have on their children. If Gordon Ramsay can teach us anything, it's that you don't have to have a perfect childhood to be successful. His childhood gave him the grit, you know, it gave him the passion, it gave him the that drive to be successful. So we do need to rough our kids up a little bit and make them a bit more resilient and not hand everything to them on a silver platter. And I think sometimes, you know, with the content we're served on TikTok and Instagram, we can be so wrapped up in making everything perfect, but actually our kids can thrive, you know, from the worst of times too. And I think it's something to keep in mind.
Definitely. And I think it's interesting for it to hear him talk about his kids and how they're raising them. They obviously had four and then they had subsequently had another two, Oscar and Jesse James. I think Jesse James must only be like three or something at this point. Yeah. So the conversation around parenthood was interesting, I thought, between Gordon and Tana, because, you know, he admitted not being around for the first batch of kids and he still travels. You know, I think he said at one point he was traveling for 4 weeks and Oscar had said to him, "How many sleeps is that, Daddy?" And like the pain of having to tell your kid that's 30 sleeps. It's remarkable to see. The thing is, right, you're right. He has succeeded and he came from nothing. He came from a really challenging background. But what it has spawned in him is an addiction, like a workaholism. And so even if he said to himself now, "I have the money, I have everything I need, I've succeeded beyond my wildest dreams." If you said to Tana Ramsay, "Would you like Gordon to be at home with you every single day?"
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it's hard to make a commitment to a person like that and you marry all elements of them. I think the kids speak really fondly of him, though. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they absolutely adore him and they're very, very close. And I think it's because no matter who Gordon is speaking to, he speaks to them the same. So he's probably kicking his kids up the arse the same way he's kicking his, you know, chefs in the kitchen up the arse. And it has given them that drive as well. Like he says that when he basically was going to become a professional footballer and he tore his Achilles, I think, and he was just turfed out. Like there was no rehab, there was no plan B. You were just gone if you got an injury like that. And he said that when he went in then to the restaurant industry, it taught him never to become complacent. And that is why he still has that drive. Like we saw in the Netflix show, every single thing in that restaurant or those restaurants he was creating at the top of the tower had to be absolutely perfect because he knows what it's like to have it all taken away in just a second. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what gives him his drive.
So let's talk about the scandals then.
Okay, yeah. So he married Tana Ramsay in 1996. Now, Tana Ramsay and Victoria Beckham were best friends, which is fabulous. I'm so happy for them.
Who would you rather be? Tana or VB?
Obviously, Victoria Beckham.
Would you?
Come on. Yes.
Why?
Purely because I'd be married to David.
Oh, of course. Do you know the Ramsays don't live far from me? They live around Wandsworth Common, which is somewhere that I frequent quite a lot. And
have you ever seen them in the wild?
I've never seen them in the wild, but I saw them walking the kids to school on the dock and I recognised exactly where they were. I thought to myself, if I fancied that now, if I fancied a stroll over there at 9 a.m. or 8:30, you'd probably see them.
Wow. So they got married in 1996, which is like, what, 30 years ago? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a long-term marriage. He was accused of having an affair, which he has always denied. But he did publicly apologise to Tana for the stress and humiliation that the rumours and the newspaper coverage put her through.
And that was allegedly between 2001 and 2008. So if they only got married in 96, it wasn't very long into into their marriage. One of the other things I noticed Gordon saying on the dock was, and this I suppose is what the rest of us, this is the gold that you can pick up and say, interesting. He said to Tana, we need to sell our flat. I think they had maybe had one kid at this point, Megan, and they said, she said, like, what? He was like, yeah, we need to sell this because the banks will not give us the money. So if you can imagine Gordon at that time, he was like a dog with a bone. She had a new baby. He was absolutely itching to start a business. He knew and he believed in himself so deeply. So you can imagine that would be the time that he would go off and have an affair, because he's away from her. She's nursing a baby. He's just, you know, he's swimming upstream, I suppose. And he's likely to have been in maybe a mindset of, you know, my commitment is to myself here.
You know, I really respected in the Beckham documentary that they did allude to Rebecca Lewes and that kind of distance in their marriage around that time. And I would have loved to have heard more about their relationship in this documentary. And maybe that's why it wasn't as successful as the Beckhams one, because it did feel a little bit guarded at times, I thought.
I actually thought you got really good access. Like, if you watch the Talking Heads bits of them sitting on the couch, you could see the back and forth, you know, that she, and, you know, even him shouting down the stairs, what time are we leaving? She's like, 7:30. And then, like, not even 5 minutes later, he's like, what time are we leaving? She was like, 7:30. You know, so she is, he is effectively another child that she has to bring up. So I know what you mean, though. They didn't go into that stuff, which is probably quite painful for them. There is a veneer that they wanted to keep, but I did think they showed you their marriage.
I loved when he crashed into that guy on the way to the apron shop, or the chef. A uniform shop. It was so, you could tell he was so embarrassed. It was probably like day one of Netflix being around, and he bloody crashes into someone. But his reaction was just so Gordon, wasn't it?
Completely. And I thought that was very sweet. Actually, he was getting Chef White's for Tilly, who was coming over to do
Ballymaloo,
which I thought was so cool. He was like, "Yeah, I could have taught her, but she wants to go to Ballymaloo, so fine."
So there was another feud in their lives. Now, Tana's dad was hugely involved in the growth of the business. He was Gordon's CEO.
Yes, he was CEO of Gordon Ramsay Holdings LTD.
So tell us about that family feud.
Christopher Hutchinson, 68. When he was actually arrested. So what he had done, he was jailed for 6 months for conspiring to hack a computer system relating to Gordon's business interests. Now, he didn't do this alone, embarrassingly enough. He did it with his sons, Adam and Christopher.
Her two bros.
Yeah. So, you know, talk about, see, this is the problem also with family businesses, I guess. When there is money and more money and more money than you've ever seen before in your life. Do you? And also, I suppose working for somebody like Gordon, like being Gordon's CEO. Here's the thing I realized when I worked with Angela Hartnett. Angela Hartnett has other people working for her, but she does and knows everything that's going on. And that's just the way that those chefs operate at that level. So even though they delegate, they will micromanage as much as they delegate. So you can imagine the father-in-law was just constantly being checked in on and constantly being, you know, watched. So anyway, this is apparently what happened. Having been sacked as CEO of Gordon Ramsay Holdings, he conspired with his sons to access accessed Gordon's systems almost 2,000 times between 2010 and 2011. So what he was looking for was incriminating facts, or he was looking to to destroy Gordon's reputation. And it was purely done out of resentment and rage. So stories about a hair transplant and a fishing trip made it into the papers. And, you know, this was their plan, to really just sully the man's name. After their actions were discovered, Tana's dad sent an email to his son saying, "Guess we have been rumbled. Bit late, though." So off he went to prison for 6 months. Now, you would think that was 2017, and you would think there's no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, actually, they did. And Tana, in 2018, said that she and her father had actually made up. And he was a marathon runner, actually. And he has run over 90 marathons. And the kids ran marathons with him, particularly because I think Tana lost a child when she was 5 months pregnant. And So they have all of the family have run together in aid of baby loss.
Oh, and I think that is a real lesson, that there is always a way back for families.
Yes.
I mean, you probably would forgive family members more than you would anyone else.
Well, is that true, though? Well, no, I suppose you're right. You would. But wouldn't it feel like such a deep cut if a family member had stolen from you or tried to sully your name?
Absolutely. But I mean, it's very admirable that they have put it behind them, because amazing. It's stuff like that make you sick.
Exactly. Exactly. Holding on to resentments like that would make you ill. And I suppose maybe that brings us to the next family feud, and the final and most recent family feud that the Ramseys have gone through. And that is with Holly and her new husband, Adam Peaty. So they got married in December 2025 in Bath, winter wedding. It was a massive affair. And I thought it was quite funny in the doc when Gordon was saying David Beckham had gotten in touch and been like, "Hey, hey, you've got so many daughters, it's going to cost you a fortune. I've only got one." So Adam Peaty was, by the way, a hook, line and sinker, like seems to love Gordon and seems to get on really well with him, and Gordon with him. But Adam Peaty's family were not at the wedding.
Yeah, so Adam Peaty is an Olympian. So he's an Olympic swimmer, really successful in the UK, met the Ramsey's daughter, and she's an influencer, I think, and they got married. But he's from, also like Gordon, very, very humble beginnings. And there was a row with his mother over the hen party, I think. She wasn't invited. And it went very public. I think his side of the family were speaking to the press, like, that's never good. And the relationship just completely broke down in the weeks leading up to the wedding. And so his family did not attend. I think one of his sisters did. But what I thought was so ironic about this was the Beckhams at the same time were going through their issues with Brooklyn. And it's almost like in Gordon Ramsay's situation, Adam Peaty was the Brooklyn. So Adam Peaty turned his back on his family and favoured his in-laws. And the Beckhams are front and centre at the Ramsay wedding, looking at this boy, Adam Peaty, who's doing the exact same thing that their son Brooklyn had done to them.
I never put that together. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Whoa.
So how must they, obviously they support their friends, Gordon and Tana, and obviously every situation is different and every, you know, story is different. But it must have affected the Beckham sitting there looking at Adam Peaty gush over the Ramseys. You know, he absolutely adores Gordon and speaks, I think he calls him dad.
Does he? Wow.
I just thought that had to have made the Beckhams kind of feel a little bit sad at that wedding.
Well, here's a question for you. If in years to come, Pia was in the same situation with her husband-to-be, What is the best case scenario? Would you say, look, let's for one day only stop the war of words, everybody come together to celebrate this couple? Or would you say, no, absolutely, let's not have these people at a wedding?
I think at your wedding, you have to, it's not about anyone else. It's actually about you guys. And if there is somebody who's going to upset you at your wedding, don't invite them. I think on your wedding day, it's really important for you to be surrounded by love and positivity.
But that's what I mean. If you had both parties and you said, look, for one day only, let's put aside our differences and let's witness the love of our kids. Mm. You know, I don't know. My concern would be, it's all fine now, but down the line, resentments bubble.
It will always be, you didn't have me at your wedding.
It will always be.
But did the mum refuse to go to the wedding?
I think, yeah, potentially. Well, I don't know whether it was that or whether she was banned in the end. That was kind of the finer detail we never got. It was only speculation. But I don't know. I feel, I think I would, if it was me in the situation, I would really try to build bridges on that day. And I would say, look, we're not going to taunt each other or bring any animosity to this day. Let's enjoy it. They're starting a brand new life together. Let's be bigger than these squabbles. But I know what you mean. Like, the going to the press and stuff and speaking to the press, it's a bit like what happened around Meghan Markle's wedding and her father going to the press and stuff. I think it is such a betrayal to go and speak to the press, because you know, obviously, they're being paid to do so. So it's really letting loyalty, letting the side down.
Oh, it's an awful thing to do with your own family member, you know, to speak to the press. It's just, and obviously there's a bit of naivety there. They're not media trained. They're not used to this world. So maybe you can forgive them of that. But I think it just goes to show, like, no family is perfect. I mean, even, like you said, royalty, Meghan Markle's dad, doesn't Kate Middleton have a rogue uncle?
Yeah, she does.
No. We all have like, you know, skeletons in our closet.
Yes.
And it just seems to be heightened around the time of weddings, because people believe they're entitled to certain things around people's wedding, and they are absolutely not. Like, my brother is getting married next year, and if he tells me to stand over there and do this and do, I would do that for him on his wedding day. I'll stand wherever you want me to. I will do whatever you want me to. This is not about me.
I guess that's fine for our generation, G, but actually in the generations gone by, it very much was about the family and the parents. Yeah. Like, they were paying for it. So they felt entitled to call, you know, a halt to somebody they didn't want there, or to bring all of their friends. You know, I've heard so many stories about it in times gone by. And as you say, it can be a very contentious day.
I would actually love to hear from the Soul Sisters on this. And, like, we'll keep any sort of messages anonymous. But if you have a family wedding coming up, or there's been something around a family member's wedding, like, send it to us and we can discuss it on the main episode. Like, I would love to hear stories like this, how you navigated it and how you got through it. So, obviously, I'm very interested in Gordon Ramsay's mindset. I'm sure you are too, Claire. And he does marathons and Ironmans on the side. And that's obviously to channel all of that energy that he has. We have to put it somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of maybe going into the kitchen and screaming at someone, he now goes out into the top of a mountain and puts himself through an incredible challenge. But he said something recently that really resonated with me. He said, if something scares you, that usually means you should try it.
Yes. I have heard the same thing in the last couple of months. If something is really, really scary, that's the way to go. Follow it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we spoke about that on the main episode this week. And thank you so much to everyone for all the feedback, because I suppose that episode, I'll link it below, went in a direction that we weren't expecting. And it was like, the stars aligned. I was speaking to my mom yesterday and she said, I think that was the best episode of Soul Sisters ever. Mm. Because it just went to a beautiful place and it was like the universe had our back the whole way through it, or was guiding us. Mm,
for sure. For sure.
And we did speak about kind of stepping out of your comfort zone and following your dreams. So that relates to Gordon there. But do you think we'll see a follow-up, like more from Gordon on Netflix? Like, what do you think is next for him?
Well, interestingly enough, I just had a quick look at The Guardian to see what their reviewer, Lucy Manga, their TV reviewer, had said. She gave it 3 stars and she said, this 6-part extended brand advert follows the TV chef's attempt to launch numerous eateries under one roof. It's a lot of restaurant drama to have in your life. But actually, when you read the review, she's not very critical of Ramsay, and he's just doing what many megastars at his level are doing. It's a PR exercise. And as you said at the very beginning, it satisfies our desire, our interest to see how they live. What do their homes look like? What's his kitchen like? What's his relationship with his kids like? I don't think he'll do another. I don't think there's a need to do another kind of documentary. Studio Ramsay is his production company, so I'm sure they have more planned. He keeps an eye on people like Top Jaw. Do you know Jesse from Top Jaw on that Instagram? Who's done that series with him for Apple? So I imagine there's going to be more food formats from him, but probably not with him front and center.
Yeah. Oh my God. Interesting. Okay. So I absolutely loved it. If there's anything else that you want us, or anybody else that you want us to have a deep dive into, please make sure to send us a DM and send us any sort of feedback you have on that wedding part of our chat. It was so nice to talk to you today, Soul Sister. And I will be over to London soon for a delicious meal in one of Gordon's restaurants.
Looking forward to it.